This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 22nd, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 200, the Bicentennial Edition. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. It's time for the 200th edition. So I look back to highlights of the 1st, 50th, 100th, and 150th editions of the Breaker.News podcast. Hear from Glenn Greenwald, Daryl Plekis, Brad West, Hong Guo, and Sonia Firstnow. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or can you trust Justin Trudeau? Back on May 25th, MP Ellen Therrien of the Bloc Québécois tabled this motion in the House of Commons to remind the government of the October 2019 election and the 25,000 and counting Canadians who had died of COVID-19. The motion said that, quote, in the opinion of the House, holding an election during a pandemic would be irresponsible, and that it is the responsibility of the government to make every effort to ensure that voters are not called to the polls as long as the pandemic continues, end quote. The motion passed by a score of 327 to 1. The 327 included the MP for Papineau and the MP for Thunder Bay Superior North. That's right, the Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his health minister, Patty Hajdu, both agreed that an election during a pandemic would be irresponsible. So who was the only MP to vote nay? That was Derek Sloan, who was turfed from the Conservative caucus. May 25th was also the day that a reporter asked Trudeau whether he would commit to not holding an election before the pandemic is declared over. Trudeau said that political parties were working together. Quote, nobody wants an election before the end of this pandemic, end quote. So fast forward to August 15th, Trudeau went to the Governor General, and without testing the confidence of Parliament, he got the go-ahead for an election on September 20th. So much for the fixed election date law. Justin Trudeau is now in the same corner as Derek Sloan. Canada is in the fourth wave of the pandemic. BC is in a wildfires state of emergency. Afghanistan has fallen to the Taliban. And Haiti is struggling after another earthquake. Now is the time to govern, not to campaign. But we're going to get the most expensive election in Canadian history, and the turnout rate is likely to be at or near record lows. All because Justin Trudeau wants all the power for himself. The essence of irresponsible. Can you trust Justin Trudeau? What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. This is the 200th edition of the Breaker.News podcast. I'm looking back to highlights of the 1st, 50th, 100th, and 150th editions of the Breaker.News podcast. From the premiere edition in 2017, hear a clip of investigative reporter Glenn Greenwald at the University of British Columbia. From the 50th edition in 2018, Richmond immigration and real estate lawyer Hong Guo during her failed bid for the Richmond mayoralty. From the 100th edition in 2019, Daryl Plekis, the corruption-fighting speaker of the BC legislature, on an underwhelming report by the Auditor General. And Port Coquitlam Mayor Brad West, who is an outspoken opponent of the Chinese Communist Party. Brad West led a successful boycott of China's lobbying at BC's annual municipal convention. And from the 150th edition, a clip of Sonia Firstnow, right before she became leader of the BC Greens and faced NDP leader John Horgan in that controversial snap election in 2020. This is the debut edition of the Breaker.News podcast for the 5th of November 2017. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of TheBreaker.News.
The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues and institutions. It is a vehicle to stop secrecy, to unravel the spin, and to enable citizens to better scrutinize those who hold power and influence on the west coast of Canada and beyond. I hope you'll tune in weekly and tell your friends, your enemies too, about TheBreaker.news.
The big deal feature on the first edition of the Breaker.news podcast was the speech by The Intercept's Glenn Greenwald at the Allard Prize Awards at the University of British Columbia.
So when I first started talking to Edward Snowden, it was late 2012, and he contacted me via the internet. And we ended up speaking for many weeks, during which I had no information at all, no knowledge whatsoever about who he was. He was telling me, and then he had demonstrated to me, that he had taken extremely sensitive documents from the most secretive agency within the world's most powerful government, which he said he wanted to share with me. And he then demonstrated that he had those. But I didn't know his name. I didn't know where he worked. I didn't know anything about him personally. I didn't know his age. I knew nothing. And in the very first conversation, the very first one that I ever had with him, he said, look, I want to give you these materials because I know that the world needs to see them. And I think you're the person who can deliver them in a way that will be effective. And I started to talk to him about ways that I could shield his anonymity to protect the government, to protect him from having the government discover who he was. And he said, no, you don't understand. I don't want anonymity.
This is the Breaker.news podcast for the week of October 7th, 2018. The Vancouver suburb is home to 200,000 people, of which 60% are ethnic Chinese. The Breaker wanted to know more about Guo's desire to foster closer ties between Richmond and China. Here is what she had to say.
What's your message? Because there's a lot of concern in Richmond. You do want to build bridges between Richmond and China. There's people in the Hong Kong community, the Taiwanese community, people that are concerned about human rights that say that maybe Canada already has close enough ties with China. And China has some very serious problems when it comes to human rights, lack of freedom of press, for instance.
I don't think so. I do not agree.
Why don't you agree?
I think China has a lot of freedom of speech. Yes.
China has lots of freedom? Sorry, you're on the record saying that?
Yes, sir.
Journalists are in jail in China.
People
that do my work are in jail in China. How do you say that?
I don't believe it.
At the end of August, the United Nations called on China to free Uyghur Muslims from re-education camps. The UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination estimated that up to 1 million people were in camps in Xinjiang, the Muslim province in China's far west. The same report also criticized the Chinese government for how it blocks Tibetans from international travel and how it suppresses the Tibetan language.
I mean, I'm asking you these questions because you want to build closer bridges to China, between Richmond and China. And I'm asking about your knowledge of the human rights abuses of China.
There's no human rights abuse in China.
This is the Breaker.news podcast for the week of September 22nd, 2019. Welcome to the special 100th edition. BC Legislature Speaker Daryl Plekis in an exclusive interview with TheBreaker.news.
I was expecting a forensic audit. I believe, I still do, that there's more than ample reason to think we ought to have one. That didn't happen. The focus was on policy. And one of the things which didn't surprise me, but I think a main finding of the Auditor General, was that basically, we have no policies. There's, you know, it wouldn't matter what you're looking at. It's spending in any manner of form, we don't have safeguards in place. I would say that finding is worse than any other finding we could have come up with, because anybody who understands corruption and corruption in organizations would say that is nothing short of a candy store for corruption. Like, if you want to facilitate, enable, allow people to do things, engage in untoward behavior, what better way to do it than have no policies at all?
The Union of British Columbia Municipalities Convention is finally here. The annual gathering of mayors, councillors, and bureaucrats from across the province is this week in Vancouver. It is being held under a cloud of controversy because of a reception on September 25th at the Waterfront Center Hotel that is sponsored and hosted by the People's Republic of China. Brad West, the mayor of Port Coquitlam, has led a boycott campaign, citing concerns about China's foreign influence campaign and human rights abuses. West spent 3 terms on Port Coquitlam City Council before winning the mayoralty last October at age 33. He is this week's guest on the Breaker.News podcast.
China presents a unique set of challenges and I think is particularly appalling and egregious. And that's because China is engaged in a number of actions that are completely hostile to Canadian national interests and to the interests of our citizens. And beyond that, China is also probably almost without rival, one of the worst human rights abusers in the entire world. And so when I put all of that together, when I consider that we currently have 2 Canadian citizens, 2 of our fellow Canadians, who are being held in a Chinese jail, held hostage, really, and completely as retaliation for Canada following the rule of law. When I think about the provocative actions of the government of China against our farmers, when I think about the things that we have seen in the past several months on the streets of Vancouver and Metro Vancouver, where the government of China is clearly behind a coordinated attempt to silence voices and intimidate voices in support of freedom and democracy in Hong Kong, I just think that it is beyond my comprehension that any elected official in this province would think that it would be appropriate to attend an event and accept free drinks, free food, and be wined and dined by the very government that is behind all of those actions.
This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of September 6th, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 150. Vying for leadership are Cam Brewer, an East Vancouver resident, First Nations lawyer with North Vancouver's Radcliffe & Company, and an environmental law teacher at Simon Fraser University. Kim Darwin, a Sunshine Coast entrepreneur who ran for the Greens in the 2017 election. Darwin became the party's vice chair in 2019. And Sonia Furstenow, the 2017 elected Cowichan Valley MLA, who rose to prominence when she led the Shawnigan Residents Association campaign against a landfill that threatened their drinking water. Sonia Furstenow.
I would say to him what I've been saying publicly, which is it's in the midst of a pandemic, as we see the numbers rising steadily in British Columbia, and as we're grappling with a back-to-school plan that has created a lot of anxiety and stress for families and teachers and children, it's irresponsible at a time when there's no need for an election. The budget was passed. The three parties came together in March at the beginning of COVID and demonstrated that we were all capable and importantly recognized our responsibility to rise above partisanship in the face of a pandemic and work together. And we did that. And we achieved, you know, a historic session, a hybrid session. The NDP were given in 1 day session a $5 billion increase to their budget on March 23rd. And so to suggest that it's time to go to an election in the middle of a pandemic when you have evidence in the BC legislature of parties rising above partisanship because we need to in the face of a global pandemic is highly irresponsible. And putting partisanship ahead of the health and well-being and safety of the citizens of British Columbia in a time like this is, you know, it's beyond irresponsible. And that's what I will say. I've been saying it publicly. I'll say it to him directly. And if he says, well, we want out of CASA, we aren't sitting in the legislature right now, right?
So thank you again for listening to the first 200 editions of the Breaker.News podcast. Spread the word, because with your support, there will be 200 more.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau. Sunny ways, my friends, sunny ways.
There's some talk of allowing the Bank of Canada to make some tweaks to the mandate to give it a little bit more flexibility to tolerate higher inflation, so it could, you know, help stimulate the economy a little bit more in this very difficult time. Do you have a position on the mandate? Would you support a slightly higher tolerance for inflation?
I don't know. When I think about the biggest, most important economic policy this government, if reelected, would move forward, you'll forgive me if I don't think about monetary policy.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Kyoto news, Tokyo Paralympic flame created as games approach amid COVID worries. The number of infections has nearly... In the Kyoto news, Tokyo Paralympic flame created as games approach amid COVID worries. The number of infections has nearly tripled in Tokyo since the start of the Olympics on July 23rd, and 5,400 cases were reported on Friday. Japan has been struggling to secure hospital beds in the wake of the resurgence, with a record of almost 26,000 new cases confirmed across the country. Over 60 municipalities in Tokyo also lit the flames in creative ways. The Paralympics, involving around 4,400 athletes from around the world, will be staged without spectators due to the pandemic. In the Taiwan news, Southeast Asia expands 5G to replace China as world's factory. The trade war between the United States and China has inspired the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and Vietnam to expand their ambitions and modernize their industries, while attracting investment flowing out of China and Hong Kong, according to Digitimes research. Vietnam excluded Huawei, while the body in charge of Malaysia's 5G procurement decisions selected Ericsson. In the New Zealand Herald, Bailey's Realty National Conference affected by positive COVID test. 1,000 people at Bailey's Realty Conference, including those who traveled to the Auckland event from other parts of the country, have been told they are close contacts of a bar worker who later tested positive for COVID-19. The Bailey's National Conference and Awards event took place at Spark Arena in downtown Auckland on Friday the 13th. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Oregonian, before he rose to lead and leave Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani made a mark on an Oregon high school. Ousted Afghan President Ashraf Ghani's path to world leadership began with his participation in student government in Lake Oswego. Decades before he ascended to the presidency, he was an exchange student at Lake Oswego High School. Ghani, who also went by Ashraf Ahmad or Ashraf Ahmad Zai, came to Lake Oswego through an exchange program sponsored by American Field Service during the 1966-67 school year. In the Seattle Times, mayor's office knew for months Durkin's phone setting caused texts to vanish, emails show. When the public learned in May that 10 months of Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin's text messages were missing, her office initially attributed the loss to an unknown technology issue with one of three phones she used during the period in question. But officials already had known for months why the texts were gone and when they disappeared. Internal emails appear to show. And City Attorney Pete Holmes says the initial explanation from Durkin's office was misleading. Durkin's texts were set to automatically delete on a phone she started using in July 2020, shortly after racial justice protests had rocked the city, according to an email exchange between the mayor's office and the city attorney's office in January 2021. In Czech news, a stinky situation. High demand for porta-potties leads to shortage on Vancouver Island. Preparations are underway for the annual Esquimalt Ribfest, but this year it almost didn't happen when the team found themselves in a bit of a stink. There's more demand for porta-potties than supply, and several island companies are completely out of rentals right now. Combined with the island's booming construction industry, it's led to a shortage of portable loos. And these headlines in the Breaker.News. Surrey police threatened to sue citizens who caught chief using a personal email account. Horgan Air's first flight of 2021 cost more than $24,000. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Vancouver City Councillors Pete Fry and Lisa Dominato, P&E President Shelley Frost, and the family of the late George Challenger. The Challenger Relief Map of British Columbia is returning to the Pacific National Exhibition after 24 years. You can see part of it at this year's fair, which is on until Labor Day. A fundraising campaign is underway to restore the map of BC to its old glory. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob at thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
Vaccine, I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 22nd, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me for this special bicentennial edition. Did you know that on August 22nd in 2007, the Texas Rangers embarrassed the Baltimore Orioles 30-3, the most runs scored in a modern Major League Baseball game? Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob at thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.